भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Prayers by Queen Kunti, text number 41. O Lord of the universe, soul of the universe, O personality of the form of the universe, please therefore sever my tie of affection for my kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Rishnis.
Omagyanatimidandasya janaganasalakayam chaksus miritam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manavistam shapitam jena bhutale swayam upakaramaya dadati saparantikam shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri adaita gadadha shri vasari gaura bhaktivindam hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama hare rama 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 hare hare.
So Queen Kunti was a pure devotee of Krishna. She, although she was in a woman's body, sometimes Krishna says that women are on the level of sudra or less intelligent. But when it comes to devotional service, he says that everyone is welcome. Stri sudra sambhavan, isn't it? What's that verse? Forget the exact Sanskrit. But in the ninth chapter, Krishna says that everyone can become a devotee, no matter what position you happen to be in. Even there's some examples of animals like Hanuman or Gajendra the elephant. They also can become devotees. So there's no restriction from that side, from the bodily side. The only restriction is from our desire. If we desire to become pure devotees, then in any condition we can make progress towards that goal of being a pure devotee. What does it mean to be a pure devotee? Means that we love God with our whole heart, our whole soul, our whole mind, and our neighbor as ourself. Just like Lord Jesus, when he was asked by one intelligent man, you know, I don't have much time, just tell me, in a quick nutshell, what is it you're doing? What are you into? So Lord Jesus said like that. That we're preaching that people should love God with their whole heart, their whole soul, their whole mind. And then their neighbor as their self. Neighbor as the self will automatically come. If we really love God, then we'll love our neighbor also. Because we'll see that the neighbor is a child of God. So we're all brothers because we have the common father. This is the test. If someone is really loving God, then he becomes very tolerant of his neighbor. He becomes very loving, caring about his neighbor. This is the point that's being made here. Prabhupada is making that when we really become lovers of God, then we broaden our scope. Not that we make narrow. We only love our community or our friends or our family. No, we see that everyone is, the whole world is our family. Even the trees, they're also, the living entity is there. Otherwise, how is life coming out? So we don't cause anxiety to anyone, to any creature. This is the sign of the real religious person, one of the signs. So, why don't we try for that? So that means that we have to be careful not to become overly attached to our family. Prabhupada talks about that in a very early Back to Godhead that was written during the war, World War II. He was saying, now there's a frenzy of love by the German people, for the German people. Frenzy of love. He said, so if, when there's a frenzy of love, then automatically there'll become a frenzy of hate. These two things are like two coins, two sides of the coin. Once you become frenzied, then there's going to be some extreme on the other side. Natural. So they love the Germans, Aryan, and they hate the Jews, whatever the lower class of people, and they kill the Jews. But what? This is not a very noble thing. The animal feels the same way. But as human beings, we are trying to expand our consciousness. We're trying to become real lovers of God. So how to do that if we put God in the center? Not that we have to go to each individual and say, I love you, I love you, I love you, no. If we put God in the center, then automatically we'll love everybody. The example is given of watering the roots. Here we see that Krishna is the soul of the universe, the soul in everyone's heart. It's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita how he's Ishvara Sarvabhutanam. He's in everyone's heart. Hridesu Junatistati. So if we actually please him, then naturally we'll feel affection for everybody. Just like we water the root of the tree, then all parts of the tree are nourished by our watering. We don't have to individually water the leaf, but every part is benefited. Similarly, if we really put God in the center, that's why Lord Jesus said, first you should love God with your heart and your soul, then your neighbor. But the materialists, generally, they have it backwards. They say, you know, humanitarian, first we should love human beings. And of course, they don't care about animals. We can kill the animals. But that never works. Because without putting God in the center, we won't be able to love all the human beings. The same philosophy sometimes we hear in India. Service to man is service to God. No, this is backwards. Service to God will include man. But if you just serve God, man, then you may not be complete in your devotion. Because you won't know how to really serve man unless you give them God. This is the highest service to man. It's okay you want to serve man, but their highest service to man is to introduce them to God, who's in their own heart. Then they'll be really benefited. Sometimes we give the example of the drowning man. He's drowning in the ocean. If you come with a boat and you say, here, you've been in the ocean now for 2 days, you must be hungry, have a sandwich. No, that's not the right thing to do. The right thing is to get him out of the ocean. So these humanitarian welfare workers, they have a good intention, but they don't have the proper knowledge. The proper knowledge is that we should give people God. If we're actually able to give them God, then from any position, they can make progress. Of course, it's not that we're callous to their suffering, material sufferings. But the fact is that the material world is a place of suffering. And you're going to suffer. There's going to be suffering no matter what you do. No matter what attempt you make to mitigate the suffering, it's still going to come. Just like waves are coming on the ocean. Because the nature of the ocean is to have waves. The nature of the material world is there's going to be problems. So if you think you can eliminate all the problems, this is utopian. It's not possible. The only way you can eliminate the problems is to get out, to come to the Vaikuntha, to the spiritual world, where there's no problem. So that requires training, how to get out. And here Queen Kunti is giving us the indication. What is that training? You have to become detached from material things and attached to Krishna or to spiritual. So this is our process. Krishna Conscious Movement means we're teaching, training people and learning ourselves how to become detached from matter and attached to Krishna. Again, if we become attached to Krishna, then automatically the detachment will come. But still, we should, make a program on both sides, positive and negative. When we see that our mind is becoming attached to things that are temporary, then we should, with our intelligence, we remove it. From that, we should ask ourselves why. Why are we so attached to the to on this side? This is not my real home. This is not my real relationship, eternal relationship. My eternal relationship is with God. Let me not give my pearls to the swine. Lord Jesus also said, why was he was instructing? Don't give your pearl to the swine because the swine won't appreciate. Similarly, the best thing you have is your love and your adoration. If you give that to ordinary man, he won't appreciate properly. Therefore, the process is first you give it to God, and then you'll become naturally joyful because God will reciprocate with you, and then you'll be happy to distribute it to others in, according to their, merit. You'll become very magnanimous, like Srila Prabhupada. He took so much trouble for humanity. 70 years old, he came to this country on a boat. He didn't have money for a plane. He came on a steamship, suffered so much trouble, had a heart attack on the way. But he didn't give up his mission. His mission was to benefit humanity. He wasn't just concerned about Indians or just concerned about... He wanted everyone to benefit. So he thought, let me come to America. America is the leading country. If we can convince some of the people here, then naturally the others will follow. So he took that trouble, and he lived in a very difficult way for over 1 year here in New York City, in the most, in the worst neighborhood. We wouldn't even walk in that neighborhood where he was living, in the Bowery and Second Avenue, very dangerous place practically. He had to step over people who were lying in the doorway, drunk, in order to go into his apartment. But why he took that risk? Because he had great compassion. He knew that this is the medicine that can really relieve the suffering of the people. But in order to benefit from that, we have to take the medicine. Just like we say, the sun is equal to everyone. But if someone remains locked up indoors, then he won't get the benefit of the sun. He won't get the vitamin D or whatever, or warmth and so on. So Prabhupada was equal to everyone. He didn't have any favorite. He loved everyone. But those who reciprocated with him, then naturally he would give them more, you can say, mercy. So mercy is being distributed everywhere by the sunlight, but someone who takes advantage of it, they get more benefit. So similarly, Krishna is equal to everyone. So that requires our samasarvesu bhutesu. He says that he has no favorites. He's not partial. He loves everyone because we're all part of it. We're all his part and parcel. Nothing is outside of him. But those who surrender to him, then naturally he reciprocates more directly with them because they're approaching him in that mood. So this is an open secret. Anybody can approach God. Why not? God is in our heart. He's ready to reciprocate with it. But if we do it scientifically, that will be beneficial. And what is that science? The science is Shravanam Kirtana Vishnu. That the best way to approach God is through devotional service of hearing and chanting, remembering, praying, offering, and so on to the Lord. This is the scientific process. And it begins by hearing. What is so difficult? Just like now, we're hearing. We're hearing this words of Queen Kunti Devi. We're hearing the purport of Srila Prabhupada. It's not a very difficult process. Simply we have to regularly hear. And the morning is the best time. That's why I was encouraging her, Mr. Vikram, to come. Because this is the time that we're more receptive. In the morning, before we do our work, before we run around, before the motive passion becomes too strong. But even you can see, even in the morning, the motive passion has already started. Therefore, we have our first program here at 4:30 in the morning. This is our first service, every morning 4:30. Because then, even the materialist people are not moving about, so there's no traffic. So you're welcome to come at that time, but it might be a little early. So that's why I suggested this time, because we have a second program. We have our first program there, then we chant our japa, then we have the second program, and then we have, you know, questions and answers, and then we have a breakfast. So it's true that motive passion will enter, then we won't be peaceful to hear this philosophy nicely, to hear the chanting nicely. This is the real process, to hear. It's not some kind of a mystical thing. The knowledge is transmitted through hearing. So in India, when you go to the sadhu, you know, the advanced devotee, they come like this. This is how they come. They come into the sadhu's presence. But let me hear, because this is the process. Yes, I want to hear. Prabhupada said about himself that others were coming and going, but I was hearing my spiritual master. And my spiritual master marked it. He said, this boy likes to hear. He said, that was my qualification. Because I was eager to hear, then I became qualified to preach. Simple understanding. If you hear nicely, then you can repeat nicely. So this should be our first business, to hear now. Therefore, we emphasize this book distribution. We emphasize the book publication and translation. We have in so many different languages all over the world. Because we can hear in the privacy of our own home just by sitting and reading. Of course, it's good because when we come to those who are explaining the subject matter, that's even more beneficial because then our questions can be removed, whatever doubts we have can be alleviated. So it is recommended that we hear from those who are speaking, not just hear from by studying or reading. But both things can be there. And then in our reading, if we have questions, we can bring to the speakers, to those who know the subject a little more thoroughly than us. And then our doubts can be removed. The whole thing is why we don't love God, because we doubt whether God is even existing. Each one of us has some kind of inhibition. We're not able to accept that God is the Supreme Person and He's our friend and He's nothing is outside of Him, and at every moment He's ready to guide us and bring us to Him. And so in order to develop that faith, we have to associate and become convinced. So therefore the hearing is recommended. Then all our doubts can gradually be removed. Just like when we first came, we didn't have any belief, even in God. I was an atheistic, practically speaking. But by hearing from Prabhupada, gradually then the faith develops. This is the process. In the beginning is the faith, and at the end is faith. The only difference is it becomes stronger and stronger and deeper and deeper. So the process then is how to develop our faith, so much so that we can move mountains. Isn't it? Muhammad said, when we have that kind of faith, then the mountain will come to us. So there's so many examples like that of those who are so faithful that God is moved by them. He takes the initiative to reciprocate with them. So this is the perfection. When we become so faithful that God feels obliged from his side to protect us, just like a small child. He has full faith in his parents, therefore he's fearless. He's not afraid because he knows my mother and father are behind me. So similarly, if we have that kind of faith in God, then he will protect us at every step. Just like Prahlad Maharaj, how he was protected from Hiranyakashipu by Lord Nrisimhadev. Because he had full faith. He was completely dependent on the Lord, just a young boy. But because of that faith, then the Lord was obliged to protect him. Not for killing Hiranyakashipu. Material energy can kill anyone. This is working secondary energy of the Lord. It can easily vanquish all these demons. But to protect the devotee, to increase their faith, then the Lord will appear. Just like with Draupadi, same example. She was being made naked, but Krishna came because she surrendered. At first she didn't surrender. She was holding on. She was praying to her husband, to the Bhishma, to the elders, to Dhritarashtra. And then when she really gave up, then Krishna was obliged. So we have to oblige Krishna by our faith. So faith is a very wonderful, delicate, precious thing. And it can be, in the wrong atmosphere, our faith can be reduced. Therefore, we're careful to associate with those who are also faithful. We don't, intimately exchange with those who are unfaithful because they'll degrade us. Those who are against the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, those who are 100% engaged in sense gratification, this kind of association is not wanted because association is like a crystal. Wherever you associate a crystal, you put it there, it'll take on the effects of the environment. If it's on a blue cloth, the crystal will look blue. On a green cloth, it'll look green. So association is like that. Whenever we are associating, then we take on that quality. Therefore, we say sadhu sangha. Krishna says, tushyanticha, amanticha, my devotees, they associate, enliven me, enliven each other by discussing about me. So this is the process. Okay, any question?
Is it that Prabhupada come from India to here? He stayed in some Second Street. And
Second Avenue, yeah, a very bad neighborhood.
It's not good avenue.
No. For a while he was in the Bowery, which was the worst place. With the drunks. When I lived on Long Island, which is a suburb of New York.
Yeah, that's the best.
I wouldn't even go to that place. So
Long Island still is the best place I stopped. When I came from India, I stayed in Long Island first.
Yeah, oh, that's it. It's a suburb of New York.
Yeah. So
he took all kind of risk because he loved us. He wanted us to get this information. He wanted to get it out. He didn't care for his personal consideration. This is the nature of those who are really godly. They have love for everyone. They're full of compassion. They're very sorry to see that others are suffering. And so they take risk. Just like Lord Jesus, same example. He was even to the point of crucifixion because he was simply uncompromisingly preaching the message of God. But envious people, they won't like that because this material world is built on envy. And everyone who wants to be God, they're envious of God. So when you start speaking about God, people say, well, why are you talking about God? I'm the supreme. I'm the best. I'm this. I'm that. And they'll start advertising themselves. And if we continue preaching about God, then they become resentful. Why are you talking about God so much? Why don't you talk about me? Let me talk about me. I don't want to just come to the temple and hear about God. I want to come and talk about what I did. I did this. I did that. I'm so wonderful. This is the natural propensity we have here in the material world. Everyone is proud of their position. Although we're in an awkward position, we're subjected to the laws of material nature. We're bound to die in a few days by the time element is reducing our life. But still, we're very proud. So this pride has to be broken. And the way to break that is to come under the guidance of the devotees. Devotees are our real well-wisher. They won't allow us to keep that pride. They'll minimize that. They'll help us to remove ourselves or to get free from that. It's like a disease, this pride. Why are we proud? We should be humble. This is our real position. We're very small. God is great. We can be proud of God, but on our own account, we have nothing to be proud of. We've turned away from God. Therefore, the first business is to accept the spiritual master, and by accepting spiritual master, he'll make us humble. We saw it so many times. Srila Prabhupada was very strong preaching to curb the pride in the disciples. Many instances were there. I'm just reading now a nice conversation book of the different devotees who gave their remembrances of their experience and exchanges with Srila Prabhupada when he was here. So many hundreds of people, including me. And we see, if you read through that, you'll see how Prabhupada was always alert to try to bring his disciples to the point of being just humble servants. But we don't like that. We don't want to be humble servants. We want to be the controller and the proprietor and the enjoyer. We're not happy just to be some humble servant. But this is the qualification to enter into the kingdom of God. You want to compete with God or you want to cooperate with Him? It's very scientific. It's up to us. Each one of us individually, we have a free will. We can decide what is our choice. We want to serve God or we want to become God, become supreme in some way. And what is that supreme generally? It means to get more money. It means to get more prestige. It means to get, you know, better family, better country. Why people want to come to America? Because this is considered a good country. Yes, I'm an American, so this is another form of advancing. Good education. All these things that people take for granted, but from the spiritual point of view, they're not really assets. The only asset is our desire to serve God. And we can do that from any position. And we're giving the example. Even an animal can do, like Hanuman or Gajendra the elephant. Even a woman can do, like Kunti. It only requires our desire. Who can check our desire? A boy like Prahlad became the best devotee because he desired. Desire is in our hand, in our heart. If we desire God, then He'll help us. Any comments there, Krishna?
I have a question. What if someone is intoxicated by material nature to such degree that he doesn't even think or doesn't see that he needs this, or that this will be more satisfied for him in the relationship with God?
Yes.
He's not looking for this.
Then he suffers. What was the question? That means he's more like an animal. Animal also. We don't bring in the dogs to try to convince them because their nature is such that they're stuck up on a bodily platform. They won't be convinced that they're not this body. So such men are more or less like animals because they're not interested in spiritual life. So then what to do? We can try. One thing we can do is to chant. If we chant loudly, if they hear that chanting, they can benefit. So we try to help them. Even the dogs will benefit. We were reading this morning, right? Even the insects and the loud chanting of the holy name, even the trees will benefit. So this is one way we can try to benefit them. But ultimately, if they refuse to accept the fact that they're different than animals, well, what can be done? They want to remain as animals. Then it's difficult. It's dangerous. These kind of people. They're the kind of people who crucified Christ. What was he doing? He was saying about the kingdom of God, the Father in heaven, and they put him on the cross. Because he was dealing with animal type people. More dangerous than animal. It says that an envious human being is even more dangerous than an animal because animal, they can be tamed in some way. Even a tiger can be trained. But an envious man, there's nothing you can do. Therefore, in general, we avoid such envious people. When we start talking about God and how he's enjoying with the gopis, then immediately they say, no, I want to enjoy with the gopis. So we don't speak to such people about Krishna and the gopis. We avoid them because they're envious. I want to be Krishna. So such class of men, we should avoid for the most part. Sometimes in a public meeting they may come. If they're a little sincere, we can explain to them. But if they're just envious and challenging and angry, then we should go to innocent people. There's so many innocent people. We don't waste our time with such people. Therefore, Christ said, don't give your pearl to the swine. These class of people, they're demoniac. Krishna didn't spend so much time preaching to Duryodhana because he saw this guy is envious. He doesn't like my devotees. Therefore, the best thing is to kill him. Then he'll get some benefit. That was Krishna's calculation. He became angry with Duryodhana because they were insulting Draupadi, taking pleasure out of seeing a devotee like Draupadi insulted. So when a devotee is insulted, then Krishna becomes very disturbed. Then he punishes them.
Whenever this kind of stuff happens, Krishna comes back again.
Yugay, birth after birth, yeah. That's right. So our belief is that he came again only 500 years ago as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the covered incarnation. And he was teaching this chanting and the dancing. We see his picture there on the top. He was taking people. Okay. That's all right. Yes. We'll stop here. Shri Bhagavatam Ki.